In these words that we have read, Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, we have a well-known story that the Lord Jesus Christ told the people in his teaching, and he was speaking to them about the kingdom of heaven. The content of the story concerns a marriage occasion and the role that 10 young ladies had in that. You might want to call them bridesmaids if we were trying to form a comparison with modern day weddings. These would have been with the bride, attending to her, but also waiting for the bridegroom to come to go out to meet him as he would come to take his bride. Now the Bible tells us here, the Lord Jesus has said this, that 5 of these 10 virgins were described as foolish. And owing to a situation brought about of their own making, they were unable to enter in to the joys that were associated with the wedding occasion. Now, this is a wonderful picture of what's going to take place whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth again. A bridegroom is one of the very charming and very significant and important and vivid pictures of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look for a short while just now of these 5 foolish young ladies, these 5 foolish virgins, as the Lord Jesus Christ called them. And I want us to notice a number of matters concerning them. And the first one is this, the attachment that they possessed. These young ladies, all of them, but we'll take the 5 since we're focusing our thoughts on them. They were associated in some very special way with the bridegroom. I want you to notice, first of all, the importance that this attachment would assume. Now, it would have been a mark of dignity for these young ladies. It would have been a mark of honor. It would have been a kind of status for them to have been associated with the bridegroom at this particular time. You know, as weddings take place, there's always the bridal party. There's usually the bride and the groom, the best man, maybe an usher or two, maybe one or two bridesmaids, maybe a matron of honour, whatever. But to be associated along that front row where the wedding is taking place would show that there would be an importance assumed by people as they would look upon those associated with the bride and the groom. But not only would there be an importance assumed here, there would be an impressiveness displayed. Because those that make up the bridal party have been chosen, in all probability by the bride, but the bridegroom would have his say as well, to take part in that official position. And this would have been a most impressive display if you had 10 bridesmaids. Now, in this church here, from it opened in 1975, there have been many, many weddings. And every one of them impressive. Let's not forget that. Weddings, you take a lot of work that goes into that. The mother of the bride would know all about that, as the bride would herself. And, of course, the others that are involved in it from the bridegroom's point of view. There's a lot of hard work. And on the day, every wedding bears the sense of impressiveness. And in this church, we've had, over the years, quite a lot of sizable bridal parties. But we've never had one where there were 10 bridesmaids. And yet, in this particular occasion that the Lord Jesus is referring to, there's an impressiveness here, because these 5 foolish virgins were part of the 10. And it must have made a big show whenever 10 young ladies were involved in the bridal party. But not only was this importance that the attachment would assume and the impressiveness it would display, but there was the impression that it would convey to the people, the impression being this, this is a grand occasion. And these young ladies, these five foolish virgins that we're thinking of, they all would have held an official position. So there was quite a lot of attraction going on here with this grand occasion. And then there's one other matter about the attachment, and that is the indication it would show. The indication is this. These five young ladies, along with the five wise virgins, these five foolish ones that we're thinking of, must have been well liked to have been asked to take part on such an occasion as this. So what an attachment that these young ladies had in that bridal party and with that bridegroom. Now, I've already said that this is a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. And here are young ladies that had an attachment of some kind with the bridegroom. It is a picture here of religious people. If we want to confine ourselves to young people, they're the young people that are upright in character. They have a semblance of religion. They like coming to the house of God. They like mingling with other Christian young people. But the big difference is this, as these five foolish virgins indicate, they were not Christians. They had a show. They had a semblance. They had religion. They're church going. But they're described as foolish. And am I speaking to a young person here? Or if I can widen it out, am I speaking to older people who like the house of God, who love to sing the hymns, who appreciate the preaching of God's word, who like associating with other Christians, but you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You have a form of attachment with the Lord Jesus and the things of the Lord, but you've never been born again. You're pictured here by these five foolish young ladies, the attachment that they possessed. But notice, secondly, not only the attachment they possessed, but the enjoyment they anticipated. Notice the wording in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now they're going out to meet the bridegroom. At least they're heading out in that direction from which he would be coming. What were their thoughts? My, we're in a great position today, they would think. We are part of this great bridal party. Oh yes, the main focus will be the bride, and certainly the bridegroom, as the Lord is putting it here in the story. But we'll be involved in this. The people will see us as well. And they'll say, would you look at them, all part of that bridal party. Don't they look ever so well? Not taken away from the bridegroom, and especially the bride. But you can imagine the joys that they were anticipating. What young lady would not enjoy being at a wedding anyhow? And especially if she is having a prominent place in it. Now, think of the enjoyment they would have, first of all, as you notice the part that they possessed, to attend the bride. I've watched it here over the years, every wedding. We go down to meet them coming in there at those doors. And I can watch the bridegroom sitting up here, kind of apprehensive. And I can watch the bridesmaids coming in, pulling the train of the dress out a little bit, making sure everything's right for the bride to make her way down this aisle. But those bridesmaids will sometimes walk in front of the bride at a good distance, or sometimes walk behind the bride, whatever way the bride would want it. But those bridesmaids play an important part. And no doubt they might have felt, yes, while it's the bride's day, people would be watching us too. Let's make sure we're dressed well. So the part they would play. And then the place that they would attend. Oh yes, it's coming to the house of God. There'll be numbers of guests here that the bride and the groom have invited, and there'll be many well-wishers, and they'll make their way down to the church. They'll stand outside the church grounds, and then they'll make their way up the stairs there in the gallery to watch the wedding take place. It'll meet here And then there's going to be lots of fellowship and friendship struck up that day. Those young bridesmaids will be going to a place where there'll be plenty of guests and family members and friends of the bridegroom and the bride. It's like that here. When the wedding's over, they head away to the hotel or wherever. And what a day it is for them as they celebrate the occasion with their loved ones. And so today, whenever we look at young people who are religious and upright in their attachment to the Lord and have this degree of religion and Christianity, they play a part. They love the place. They meet up with their friends. They're anticipating great joy. But that's as far as they go. Because they are not Christians, they do not have the joy of biblical Christianity in their lives. They do not have the joy of being born again and trusting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And again, older person, same applies to you. You come to the house of God. You like to hear what's going on when missionaries come or when people give their testimony. You do appreciate the Word of God. But that's where it all ends. The joys of true biblical Christianity are not yours yet. And the joy that awaits those who die in Christ or who are alive on earth, who are born again believers alive on earth when Christ comes back, when he takes them home to heaven, will not be yours. Because you're not saved. You're religious. You have a semblance of Christianity. You have some kind of attachment to the Lord and the things of the Lord. Of religion only. And you're like for the house of God. But you've never committed your life in its entirety to the Lord Jesus. And I would urge you today, if you want to know those joys, that you turn from your sin, that you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and find, as the hymn writer found, none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. That's what you lack. And I trust, and we pray, and we urge you that you'll have this, and that you'll get saved on this final Sunday of this year. But let's move forward. We've noticed the attachment that these five virgins possessed. We have noticed the enjoyment they anticipated. But I want you to notice, thirdly, the excitement they experienced. Would you look at this? If you come down to verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried. And that's very interesting. Remember, the 10 of them had gone out to meet him. But for some reason, and it's not given to us here, the bridegroom didn't come when he might have been expected to come. And we're told that these people fell asleep because the delay seemed so long. I want you to notice the circumstances of this excitement. Not much excitement when they're all sleeping, granted. But notice the build-up. We're told that the virgin slept. Notice again verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And then in verse 6, at midnight. What a time to happen at midnight. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. What a wake-up call that was. And then quick on the heels of that, go ye out to meet him. Now look at these five foolish virgins, wiping the sleep away from their eyes and realizing it's dark and we have got lamps, but the oil is gone or it's almost gone. We certainly haven't enough oil in our lamps to go out to meet him and certainly to accompany him the journey then to the house where he will take up his bride. What excitement there was. I would say that it was more consternation whenever they realized that they had no oil in their lamps. But the excitement was there. Everything had been delayed for a while. They'd even fallen asleep. But now he has come, and these five young virgins are not ready for him. Now notice the character of the excitement, not only the circumstances. Notice verse 8, verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. When they realized what's happening, these young ladies said, look, please help us out, they said to the other five. We've gone out of oil. We don't have enough to go out to meet him and to accompany him back and to get into the wedding. They say, oh, we can't give you. We wouldn't have enough for ourselves if we give you. You go to those that sell the oil and knock them up. Go quickly now, go. And those five foolish young ladies, you can imagine the awful apprehension in their lives as they scampered away to the nearest place where they could purchase the oil and wake the man up. Remember, it's midnight. And they finally get him persuaded to get up, and he gives them the oil, and they make their way back to where the wedding was to take place, to where the reception would be held. And they find out that the bridegroom had arrived, and they didn't meet him. And they've all gone in to the feast. My dear friend, let me say this. The Lord Jesus Christ, as I've already said, is the bridegroom. He's coming back again. And whenever he does come back, there's going to be some excitement. Just turn the page back to Matthew 24 till you get some idea of this excitement. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. How's that for excitement? There's never been the like of it. The whole creation of the heavenly bodies is going to experience such commotion. The world has never seen the like of it. Now verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's the bridegroom. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, for those who are described by the five wise virgins, the born-again believers, those who are true believers, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, when the bridegroom comes, it's going to be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, glory for me. But what about the five foolish virgins? What about the unconverted people when he comes back? Let me read you these words that Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What excitement there. The mighty angels and the Lord Jesus coming back. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The same time. But for the five foolish virgins, nothing to look forward to, but a fearful looking forward of judgment and fiery indignation. The anticipated joys never materializing. What a lesson for us here, as Paul writes in the first letter of the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and in verse 6 and 7. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. These five foolish young ladies were in consternation because when the bridegroom was coming, they weren't prepared to meet him. Now we've seen the attachment that they possessed and the enjoyment they anticipated and the excitement they experienced. But I want you to notice lastly the debarment they encountered. They were debarred from entering in. Would you notice verse 9 again of Matthew chapter 25? But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye out to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Notice first of all, the misery that this debarment caused. Couldn't get in. The door was shut. What misery. They were not part of the 10 virgins sent out to greet the bridegroom and accompany him. The cleavage had taken place. The disruption had occurred. The difference between the true and the false believer is pictured here in what has happened. These five foolish young ladies who went to get the oil, when they got back, the door was shut. Look at their cry in verse 11. Afterwards came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. You can imagine the earnestness in which they hammered on the door and the desperation with which they shouted and cried and pleaded. But notice the response in verse 12. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. And yet they were ostensibly part of the bridal party. How terrible for them. So religious. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, you who are pictured by these young ladies, these foolish young ladies, will be shut out. You'll be lost. And that for eternity. The misery that this debarment caused. Then notice lastly the discovery that it occasioned. And here's the discovery that these young ladies made. They had not made sufficient preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. And you keep it as a way up in verse 2. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish in verse 3 took their lamps and took no oil with them. Their preparation was not adequate. Their attachment was not of the right kind. They were careless and did not bring the adequate supply of oil that was needed. And whenever the bridegroom came, they were caught out. They were caught unaware. And as a result, they were excluded from the marriage supper. This is going to happen to men and women in a coming day. Not only the drunkard, not only the atheist, not only the immoral, not only the Christ rejecter of the vile kind in the eyes of others, but the religious, the upright, who had all the things going for them as far as a church could offer. The church cannot offer salvation of itself. And neither is it in the ordinance. Neither is it in the church's confessions and creeds. But it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have that vital union with Him, as the Bible says so often, in Him, in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And men and women today, you need to make sure that you have the right preparation here, that you're adequately prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came the first time. We were just thinking about that the last couple of weeks. Christmas is only a few days ago. The focus was His incarnation and birth. And He came in meekness. He came hardly observed, apart from a couple of people like Anna and Simeon, a few wise men, a few shepherds, Mary and Joseph, Zacharias and Elizabeth. But by and large, society was not aware. But when He comes back again, it'll be entirely different. Every eye shall see Him, and He will come back in power and great glory. Remember, in between the two, the first coming and the second, there was His death on the cross at Calvary. When He laid down His life a ransom for sinners. When He suffered the just for the unjust, that He would bring us to God. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Why? For sinners. For you and me. And you have got today to make sure that you have a vital interest in that atoning death and bodily resurrection. That you have trusted Him as your Savior and Lord and turned from your sin. Because it's only then that you'll be prepared, adequately prepared, when the Bridegroom comes back again. I plead with you, turn from your sin now. Receive Him as Savior. Don't be depending on religion or church affiliation or good character, or integrity, or morality, or uprightness. But have your faith in the only Savior alone for salvation, so that when He comes back again, you'll be like the wise virgins, with oil in their lamps. You went out to meet Him, and then went in to the wedding feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, as it's called, and rejoice with Him. Don't be like these five foolish virgins. Be wise now. Way back, hundreds of years previous to this in Matthew 25, there was this desire from God Himself. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Will you do that? Will you be wise and be ready either for death or the coming of the Bridegroom, whichever occurs first? Let's bow together in prayer.